Succession number 9.
Mr. Ray, Reel 8, could you tell me how you got back to the trenches, the frontline trenches then?
Oh, the front line. Well, naturally I had to crawl on my tummy into the ground dipped from where I was gradually, and I followed this dip in the ground, and it brought me about 100 yards away. It brought me in about 100 yards, right to the parapet of our trenches. And whoever was in the trench could notice my movement with their periscope. And the soil was, well, it was clay, but very, very hard. And there was a lot of machine gun firewood, and there were the top of that trench was being swept with machine gun fire, and for me it meant that I had to make one mighty dash and try and gauge the time when the machine gun fire would pass. Yeah, and then you could make a dash for it. Well, these people in the trench, they threw out some sandbags, and as best as they could, tried to place them so that it wouldn't hurt me getting back on my tummy. And then when they were ready, I made one mighty dash, and I went into the trench head over tip. And they caught me as I went in, and I was all right. And that was the last that I saw of the front line. Then from there on, I went down.
Were there a lot of other casualties in this attack? Because you said that the firing...
Yes, there was. There must have been quite a lot. But then, we must remember that you're not all that conscious of the... of who else is, what's going on around you so much, if you have your own particular problem.
How were you helped back from the front line then?
Oh, well.
From the front line to the hospital.
From the front line, I went down from there to the hospital ship that was in the Cape, in Cape Ellis.
Who took you down? Because I presume you couldn't walk.
Oh, no. Stretcher case. First of all, I went to the field ambulance, and that I recall wasn't that far away. You see, they always used to keep up with the people in the fire, firing line. Then from there, they fixed me up, took the bandage me up and properly, you see. The next thing, they took me down to the beach and down to the ambulance.
What was your reaction to being wounded? Did you treat it as what in the Western Front would have been called a blighty wound, or were you sorry to be wounded and wish you'd been able to stay on?
Sorry, I was wounded. Do you mean? No. No, I just take it as I don't know. I just, I suppose I felt in a sense a feeling of satisfaction, in a sense that I'd, I'd said goodbye to the inconvenience and a bit the type of life that I wasn't living, you see. Anyway, I got onto the hospital ship and went from there to Malta.
What were conditions like on the hospital ship? Was it were you comfortable and were you well attended medically?
Well, it's, you know, it was... yes, it was fairly good. I think the name of the ship, I think it was the Ivor. I'm not sure whether it was the Corner Castle or the Ivernia. It was either a castle boat, Union Castle boat, or a, what's the name? Anyway, the Corner Castle was the Union line boat, and the Ivernia was the Mauritania class, you know, that type. Cunard. See, all the NIA ending the word. They were the
Cunard.
Cunard, yeah.
What sort of treatment did you get on board then?
Well,
your foot. What did they do about your foot?
They just dressed it, that's all. No, Bush didn't dress it.
Was it badly wounded, the foot?
No. It went through. It went through the bottom of the foot. You know, that part.
Did it break the bone?
No, it touched it.
So you went to Malta?
And so I went to Malta, yeah. To Biggie Hospital, Naval Hospital.
And how long were you
there? Oh, I was there about a month. If I was there a month. I could have been there about 3 weeks, because it wasn't healed up properly when I left. It packed me off to Alexandria, and at Alexandria I was there for the rest of the time that the war was on in
Gallipoli. So till after Christmas 1915.
No, it was Christmas. It was in Christmas. It was in December, wasn't it, when they evacuated?
December and January, yeah.
Well, when the man who was in charge as the adjutant of all the details in Alexandria was the no less person than the man who was my officer in the signalling. See? As it happened, when I was fit to go back to the Gallipoli, to go back again, he wanted a batman. And I'd never been I'd never had that type of work before. But he spotted me. And the result was that he made me his batman.
And that's why you didn't go back to Gallipoli.
And that's why, yeah, I was all ready to go on the Monday. And it was the Saturday before. It was payday. He was giving out the pay. And he spotted me as he looked along the line. And we were mourning because it'd been so long we were so long waiting for our pay, see? And somebody said, oh, it's because Wilson, Lieutenant Commander, F.V. Wilson, that was his name, he was picking out, selecting somebody for his batman. So his eye lighted on my and looking along the line, and when I got up to the table he just said, what are you doing in the camp, Ray? I said, I haven't been doing anything, sir. I said, I'm down to I leave on Monday. I said, I'm on draft to leave, to go back on Monday. And Sergeant Major stepped forth and And he said, oh, this man's fit for draft, sir. Fit for draft for Monday morning. So, oil and water doesn't mix, you know. And the naval men never got on very well with the Marines. You know that, don't you? Did you? Anyway, he said to the sergeant major, all right, he said, report to the orderly room. And then go and report to Private Dick and carry on. Just like that. So, then I was set there then as his batman.
Were you pleased at being given this opportunity not to go back to Gallipoli, did you?
No. I just took it like anything else. If I'd been going back, it wouldn't have made any difference to me. I didn't feel it would have made any difference.
What had you been doing during your convalescence? Had you been allowed out at all?
No.
So you just stayed in the hospital or the camp?
Well, I was only there, as I say, about 3 weeks at the hospital. But then when I came back to Alexandria, we were on drill, you know, marching and square bashing and any clean up job that has to be done. And that was that.
What were your duties as a batman then?
I never saw the man that I'd relieved, which is very disappointing, because I didn't know what I had to do. I didn't have a clue. And I just carried on. I did what came naturally to me. And I recall a sergeant major telling me and several others at once in England that if we made ourselves indispensable, it would be the best thing. So I set about to make myself indispensable.
How did you do that?
Well, I paid attention to the job that I was doing. Now, this chappie used to buy cigarettes wholesale. See, 500, 10 tins, 500, 50 in a tin, at once. He used to get them at the wholesale price. The charge his boss retail, see? So he used to make a bit of money on that. And I used to get them. And I used to get them and charge what I paid for them. And it came about, and there was nothing wrong with it. He came about and he said, the commander said to me, he said, how is it that I get these at so-and-so, so-and-so? I said, well, that's what I pay for them, sir. Oh. See, that gave him the... So he knew then that he'd been diddled. Then the next thing, the laundry, this Private Dick, his name was, he used to send his laundry and send the two lots together and charge the other fellow, charge his boss for the laundry, you see. And so there again there was a saving, a little small amount, you see, but it just showed the difference. If he'd been wise, he would have stayed and would have shown me the ropes before he went down to his colonel, where he's colonel of Marines in Alexandria, you see. And I was, of course, left to carry on, which I did. And Well, not long afterwards. Say about a month. He came back, did this chap, and he said, I've come back for my job. Oh. He said, is Commander Wilson in? I says, well, he'll be in now. This is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, he said, I'll go across and see him then. I said, righto. And he went across to see Commander Wilson. And he came back quicker than he went. He said I've come for my job back. See? And at the time I thought, right, what matter? It's only a job. But anyway, he came back from seeing Wilson. Oh, he said, I'm not coming back. He said, I've got to go and report to the orderly room. And I never saw him again after that. Never again.
How did you get on with Lieutenant Commander Wilson?
Very well. He was... the only trouble, he suffered from ague. And that's a form of the shivers. You know. You can't get warm at times. It's like that other trouble, malaria. However, he's a very capable man, and
what was he doing at the time?
He was the adjutant for the whole of the depot. The details.
Where was this depot? Did it have a name?
This is in Alexandria, Mustafa Pasha. Yeah. That was the name of the Mustafa. Yes.
Was
Mustafa
this the depot of your regiment, or was it the depot of...
It was the depot partly of ours. and several others.
What was that, the depot?
It was a proper barracks. Absolutely. Stone-built barracks. A stone-built barracks and servants' quarters. Servants had their own quarters.
What were your quarters like?
Well, mine was a room as big as this, but not as tall.
10 or 12 feet square.
Yeah. And now then, I had to go across for my meals, that was it. That's what I was trying to think. Where did I go for my meals? But I lived there and slept there and moved in between there and the quarters of the commander.
Did you enjoy being a batman then, was it?
Well, there was nothing wrong. There was nothing that was, but what was interesting, nothing interesting altogether. there was nothing, the cleaning was of secondary importance, because, there was no dust or dirt or anything around about the place, you see. I used to sometimes go, there was a big hall, a big mess contained, where they used to, the officers used to have their dinner in the evening, and the band used to play on the forecourt of this building.
on the lawns.
And it was really a posh do.
Besides, you say there wasn't much cleaning. You sent his uniform to the laundry and got his cigarettes and his drinks or so. Were there any other duties as a batman that you had to do?
Well, I used to make his bed, clean his shoes, and polish his spurs up, and his, what do you call them? Not his leg, not his, leggings, yes, because he used to, get spurs as well, you know, that sort of thing.
Would you run other errands for him?
No.
Did you have any other duties besides being a batman, or was that just what you did every day?
That's just what I did.
Did you ever wonder what was happening to your friends in the battalion? Did you worry about it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have any news of what was happening?
Occasionally, yes. Yeah.
How long did this go on, this period of being a batman?
A couple of months. Couple of months. Say, what June, July, August, September, October, November. Yeah, 5 months, 4 or 5 months went on.
When did you rejoin the battalion then? You never went back to Gallipoli. When did you?
I went back. The commander. The base. Oh, we moved from Mustapha. The base moved into the. Shall I say the country, but it was more like desert, see, into tents. And we were there for about a month, and broke up. And the commander was invalid at home, and the sergeant major of the depot said to me, what are you going to do now that Wilson is going home? I said, I'll go back to my battalion, sir. And he said, if you go back, let me know when you go, and I'll give you a letter for the sergeant major at the battalion, see? However, there was a chappie from Durham and me. We both went back together, but we never got to the battalion. We were diverted and sent to Lemnos Island. And Mildras is the port. Yeah. And I went. What happened to him? I went on boom defense. And on this island, the boom defense was at the entrance to the harbor. There was Combe Point. Lemney Point, no, Bearder Point, Combe Point, and Lemney Point. And Lemney Point was the farthermost point that was where the land jutted out to the sea. 5 kilometres, and it's just like a triangle. Lemney Point was right at the very tip of the mainland, see? And this was the mainland. You come back here about 5 kilometres. This is Lemney Point. And on the other side is Bearder Point. Now, at Bearder Point was the sort of headquarters. That's where commander. And funnily enough, the man who was in charge, I was sent to his place to be his batman. And he didn't know me, and I didn't know him. But it transpired that the former commander, he'd chased this chap from some cushy job that he'd been trying to work himself into. He'd chased him and stopped him from getting to somewhere where he'd wanted to go. And when he realised, when he knew that I'd been his commander's, that I'd been his batman, he packed me off. And he packed me off from Bewder Point to Combe Point. And it was just across the, well, it was just like going across the street. There was only a room, there was only room for a decent, for a good sized ship, mind you, to get through the boom defence to come in the harbour. But as I say, I had this Bewder Point and Combe Point. I never got to Lemby Point.
What were your duties then? Did you start as batman and we were, for this chap?
I was, yes. But also, when I was chased after there, I went over to this Combe Point, and I actually it was the duties were to keep an eye out to see that there was nothing untoward, nothing had to come into the harbour. I was on there, on that job, when most of the men from the Dardanelles, because actually Lemnos was only about, I think it was only about 80, or I'm not sure whether it was 40 miles or 80 miles. I think it was 40 miles from the Dardanelles to this Newdros, Lemnos. Anyway, they'd come back there, and then they cleared off, all the troops cleared off to France. And I stayed there for about a couple of months on that boom defence.
How was your job of watching the boom organised? I mean, did you have a rotor or sentry goes, or how was it organised?
Well, on Bewder Point, we had a a 4.5 or a 5.4 American gun. We only had the one gun.